Well, hello, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Argyle podcast. This is Jim from theoffside.com welcoming you to our regular roundup of all things Argyle, and looking forward especially to getting back to some football after what has seemed like an eternity of an international break. I know that you know, these World Cup qualifiers grab the attentions and the enthusiasms of some people, but to be quite honest with you, Belarus and Kazakhstan, I mean, doesn't exactly set the pulse racing, does it? And even with the excitement of people choosing to boo Ashley Cole for a mistake, which seemed, you know, rather bizarre to me, to be quite honest with you, I can think of about 25 different reasons to boo Ashley Cole, but a simple mistake like that probably isn't one of them. But enough of that. We don't want to talk about preening, posing prima donnas. We want to talk about real footballers and Argyle, and in particular, to think about Saturday's game at Derby County. Not a happy hunting ground for us, Pride Park. The last time I was there was 2 or 3 years ago, 2005, I think, under Bobby Williamson. A game in which Argyle played, you know, really not bad at all. Lost to an Inigo Idiarquez free kick. And notable game also for a really quite a shocking penalty miss by Paul Watton doing his sand wedge impression. It was really not a pretty sight. And Watton never actually missed too many penalties. I think he missed 3 in his whole career with Argyle. I saw him miss 2 of them. That one and a shot straight at the keeper in the game against Colchester when we were in the old second division, Division 3, for those of you dealing in even older money. So we're hoping for a change of fortunes tomorrow. And Derby have selection problems. Goalkeeper Roy Carroll is suspended, having been sent off against Norwich. A game currently, as you probably know, under investigation for the FA due to irregular betting patterns out in the Far East. All sorts of questions to be asked there about that. Dean Leacock, probably been their best player so far this season at centre-half. He's also suspended, having picked up 5 yellows. Martin Albrechtsen, their other centre-half, out for a month. And Stephen Pearson, their influential midfielder, is injured and will be out for several weeks. So it'll be something of a reshuffled Derby side. Obviously boasting stars like Giles Barnes, who is himself recovering from injury, and Chris Commons, who's been struggling to get in the side recently. In fact, his omission seems to have coincided with an upturn in fortunes for the Rams, though most Derby fans I've spoken to are putting it down to a certain Paul Connolly, who has been handed the captain's armband and really has been turning in performances that really we could only dream of when he was a regular at Argyle. It's good to see Paul doing well, though obviously we hope he has an absolute stinker tomorrow afternoon. The other former Argyle player currently on Derby's books is Gary Teal, who you'll remember we had on loan for the latter half of last season. Whether he's going to make it into the starting 11, I'm not sure. He was not a favourite under Paul Jewell, the reason he was loaned out to us in the first place, and showed some glimpses of talent when he was down here with us, I thought, but never really did enough to merit the sort of transfer fee and the sort of wages that he and Derby were looking for. So he's currently down among the dead men there. As for Argyle, well, I think our selection is going to be fairly straightforward, to be quite honest with you. It's going to be as you were from 2 weeks ago. I can't see Sturrock wanting to make any changes. The only change that I would be thinking about, as I probably said before, is Mackie for Marin. I'm sure lots of you are dying to see what Nicholas can do with a full 90 minutes. But Mackie's been playing so well, apparently, and getting among the goals that you really couldn't justify, I think, leaving him out. So unless there's some late-minute injury problems, I would bet money that it would be the same starting 11 as we had 2 weeks ago at home to Sheffield Wednesday, and probably an almost identical bench. Timar, Marin and Mpenza, Folley and Patterson. So, yeah, pretty much as you were. Players have been impressing in the reserve games, especially young Craig Noon, who got another couple of goals from the left wing against Exeter. And good to see Simon Walton in the paper reaffirming his commitment to the Argyle cause, even though he's been out of the side for the last few weeks. Derby, having started really with a bit of a hangover from their Premiership nightmare, including losing at home to Doncaster on the first day of the season, have now started to find their form. As I mentioned a minute ago, their game against Norwich is now being investigated for match fixing, or at least unusual, shall we say, patterns of betting. A game they won 2-1 after Roy Carroll was sent off, which is the reason he's suspended for our game. Yeah, very, very peculiar indeed. In some respects, of course, this is the authorities' biggest nightmare, the idea that the national game, something which holds the attention and the passions of so many people, could be subject and be susceptible to influence and the rigging of results. Always been notoriously difficult to prove match-fixing, as those of you old enough to remember the Bruce Grobbelaar case will recall. It's only been, I think, one case where it's actually been proven back in the 60s, where the players concerned were banned for life, involving Sheffield Wednesday, I think. Perhaps you can email in if you can remember the exact details of it. What I do know is that one of the key players involved was the father of a former Argyle bete noir, a bloke called Peter Swan. I can hear the sucking of teeth all across the interwaves as I speak. Swanee's got a new book out in which he pulls absolutely no punches about his time at Argyle and reveals that almost glories in, I think would be the way to put it, that he came here for the money simply because Shilton was unwise enough to offer him exactly what he was asking for on the strength of a tackle which cost us promotion in the 93-94 season. And he was made captain and really did not do himself or the club justice at all during his time here. And talks about deliberately sabotaging training and things like that. He's regarded as a bit of a legend up where he lives now, and he does regular reports for Hull City. He is, though, probably the person second most worthy of the sort of unlegend label, Argyle villain, if you like. The person who I reserve my most amount of my bile for in terms of a former Argyle player is a bloke who always makes my blood boil whenever I hear him punditing on the Champions League, as he does quite regularly. He's a guy called Jim Beglin, former Liverpool player and Irish international. Argyle fans of a certain age will remember he had a short loan spell down here. Was perhaps the most egregious, hey, you don't hear that word very often on a podcast, the most blatant example of someone just turning up for the money. Did absolutely nothing during his stay here and barely broke a sweat as he jogged around a pitch. It was an insult to the fans, an insult to the club. And one day, you know, I'd like to get him on a phone-in. And perhaps if there are regular Argyle phone-in people here, they could maybe try and catch him. I'd like to get him on a phone-in and say, Jim, are you ready now to apologise to Plymouth Argyle Football Club and to the fans of Argyle for, you know, your disgraceful showing while you were here? Just a little thing of mine, you know, players who I don't mind, well, do mind, but I don't mind so much players who are rubbish or players who are clearly out of their depth. And we've had plenty of those over the years, haven't we? But people who really, really can't be bothered really do give me a poke. And I know a lot of Argyle players feel the same. A lot of Argyle fans feel the same about their players. I want to distinguish that, though, between players who don't make an effort, players who clearly don't make an effort, like Beglin, like Swan, and players who don't charge around like headless chickens because their game is different. I'm referring, of course, to Steve McLean, who gets an awful lot of stick from fans because he's not seen to be putting the shift in. And I continue to maintain that McLean is a good player, that McLean is an intelligent player, and given a chance by the fan base, he could be a real asset for Argyle. Comparison's been made before, not least by me, between him and Stevie Crawford, but I think it's still valid. You know, you don't have to be busting a gut to be putting an effort in for the team. And McLean's, you know, the way he opens play up, the way he brings other players into the game, I think, you know, is something we could really, really do with, particularly as it looks like we're not going to be getting hold of, you know, another creative midfielder anytime soon. Glenn Whelan's performances for the Republic of Ireland are sending his price and valuation through the roof, I would think, at the moment. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be anybody else out on the horizon. We have had one or two trialists in, but in that old parlance, they are no better than what we already have, i.e. just not up to scratch. So there we are. I'm not going to Pride Park, having been once. It's a hell of a journey, and we always lose there. A point would be very, very welcome indeed to keep the unbeaten run going. I will be going, God willing, to Preston, though, on Tuesday night. Looking forward to a bit of a... I love evening games, don't you? You know, the lights, the smells, the atmosphere. Looking forward to that very much indeed. If you are going to Derby tomorrow, have a great time. Be safe and bring us back 3 points and keep it green. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.